episode 109 of the podcast. To talk or to keep quiet, what role can voice play while we're grooming? You're listening to the Creating Great Grooming Dogs podcast. I'm Chrissy Neumeyer-Smith. I'm a certified professional groomer, a certified behavior consultant for canines, a certified professional dog trainer, and the owner of Happy Critters in Nashua, New Hampshire. And this, my friends and colleagues, is the podcast where grooming and training meet. I'm often hearing that we shouldn't be talking to the dogs while we groom. You know, that we should be more quiet, perhaps give a few no's, but not really talking to the dogs. And I wanted to explore that a little bit because I think that there's some real common sense uses for using your voice, but it can be used improperly. But I think that there are also some myths about voice. So let's go through some of those myths. What are some of the reasons why I hear we shouldn't be using our voice? One, we don't want to get the dog silly. Okay. That's legitimate. We do not want the dogs to be silly. Heck yeah, I totally agree. Except that we can use our voice to in a way that doesn't make them silly. So really, that doesn't negate the use of your voice. It just means that, you know, your goal, your mission is to use your voice to create other moods. And actually, sometimes you do want a little bit of silly. So the dog who's totally flattened to the table and shaking, yeah, I kind of want to jolly them up a little bit. I'm going to add a little bit of silly. I'm going to try to get them to relax with me and maybe be a little bit playful. So that one, I'm going to call that one a myth, that, you know, using your voice is going to make dogs silly. Not really true. It can make dogs silly. It can also make them scared. Lots of things can happen when you're using your voice. But another one that I hear is we don't want to spoil the dogs. You know, we don't want to be the fur mommies and spoiling the dogs. Again, that's a misuse of your voice. If it's creating a dog who is, well, actually, we can't even define spoiled. What do you even mean by spoiled? There's a good place to start. But I think that what most people are saying when they're saying spoiled is a dog who's just kind of being even more, you know, antsy about trying to get away. What some would call spoiled or bratty, I would kind of call a dog who is showing that they're just not comfortable. They're frustrated, they're trying to get away, or maybe they're being overly silly. But it's not because our voice is spoiling them or that we're treating them like children, but they do live with people who use their voice all day long. So, you know, we got to weigh that out. I don't believe that using your voice is going to spoil the dogs. I think that that's a pretty big myth. But here's another one. The dogs won't respect us. I hear that one a lot too. Often by people who use their voice for things like no. So I can't help but think, well, wait a minute. If it's about using your voice, and why would it work for one half of the information, the don't do, but not work for the please do? I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. So I'm going to call that one kind of a myth too. Besides which, the respect part is such an old school point of view, like left over from the 80s, some of the early 90s when we were talking about dominance a lot in dogs, before that really got debunked. Because while there is dominance in dogs, it's a particular interaction where one dog takes charge. We're already taking charge. So really, we're already in the dominant role. And the dog who is having a hard time with us is having a hard time with us being in the dominant role. So being more dominant and acting like they're disrespecting just backfires. I know that's a lot to unpack, even just that couple sentences, and I'm just going to leave it at that. It backfires. So I'm going to say the idea that dogs won't respect you if you gently coo at them to calm them down is a myth. And it's not what I have found in my experience. I have not found that to be true. Now, and here's another one that I think is kind of a myth too. Another reason why people talk about, well, you know, we should be more quiet in grooming. We shouldn't be talking to them. We shouldn't be treating them like they're fur babies. Here's another myth is the dogs won't understand anyway. But you know what? Dogs often are hearing people talking to them. That's the way most of our owners interact with their dogs, right? They talk to them. They use their voice to calm them down. They use their voice to pep them up. They use their voice to tell them they're disappointed in them, right? They use their voice all the time. Imagine how odd it would be if now you're with someone who just chooses to not talk to you. It would feel kind of weird. So I think that some of the myths around using your voice are kind of holding some of us back. So if I can dispel those myths a little bit, let's talk about how using our voice is kind of a common sense approach to giving useful feedback. Because training is all about trying to set them up to get it right and giving them useful feedback. So if we're going to help them understand what we do want and help them understand when they're getting it right or when they're not getting it right, which, you, as you all know, if you've been listening to the podcast, I'm far more about building what I do want. Because if you're building what you do want and you're consistently telling them how well they're doing and increasing the amount of good that you're seeing, right? The proof is in the pudding. We're increasing. Then you aren't having to spend a lot of time trying to stomp out the stuff you don't want, trying to squelch that, trying to express that that makes you very upset. So I want you to be thinking about the feedback being something that we can do with our voice. And honestly, in modern day dog training, the vocal feedback has really kind of fallen by the wayside in many areas. There are people who are using like a clicker, which is great. It gives precise information at a precise time. However, what is wrong with saying, "Yeah, buddy, good job," right? Like we kind of forget that it's okay to do that. Another, you know, version of training, you know, like the leash correction, you know, like, or we can talk to them, you know, like we can still talk to the animals. And I think in a setting where we're grooming, we have our hands are already full, right? We have a hand on the dog, a hand on a tool. Sometimes we have like a dryer pinned underneath your arm. Like you're already trying to do four things at once. We don't need to add extra equipment or extra stress. And if our voice feels natural to use, then use it. So many of us get told, "Oh, you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be doing that." But I want us to step back and think about the three C's: calm, comfortable, and cooperative. And if using your voice to work toward a dog who is calm, comfortable, and cooperative, if that works for you, if that works for that individual dog, then by all means, yes, talk to the dogs. Talk to the dogs. And not just about expressing disapproval. Because, you know, the people who say we shouldn't be talking to the dogs are all about the no. And I'm not. I gotta say, it slips off my tongue once in a while. Not really my thing. And if you do use no, keep in mind that what you're really doing is expressing, "I am not pleased with that." Disapproval. You know, it's sort of a blind knock it off. But at home, it often gets used very, very differently. So it can become very frustrating. Again, thinking about dogs don't understand words. Yeah, they really do. And at home, when somebody says no, does that mean go away? Because now they're on the table and they do want to go away. And you're telling them no, which means go away, and they can't. Oh, imagine how frustrated you would be, right? Like, you literally told me to do the thing that I want to do, and I can't do it, and now you're mad at me, you know? It just builds and builds and builds. But think about calm, comfortable, and cooperative. Is it calming that dog down in that moment? And sometimes it really is. I was working with a dog today who, it's my first time meeting her. She's an older dog. The last two times she got groomed, she had a full-blown seizure. So we're really worried about getting her stressed at all. They believe that one of those seizures was a stroke afterward, too. So she's definitely fragile. And I'm just talking to her, calming her down. And you know what? You have to read the dog. Is that calming her down? And it was. Great. If it's not, that's when I'll turn to being quiet. If it's not helping that dog become comfortable and cooperative, then I will return to being silent, right? But it's all about having that goal in mind. Now, using your voice can go totally wrong, right? Like coaching an owner, because, you know, I'm in house. And so, you know, the owner's there. In this case, the owner was there, like, with her hands on the dog. And actually, we thought about just doing some of it in the owner's arms, but she was a little bit worried that the dog might squiggle away from her. So when we're having an owner do it, that's when you really have to coach them, like, okay, but the whole purpose of your voice right now is for calm. Calm and help her be comfortable with it. So if they're saying things like, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, there's nothing calming about that. We need to slow it on down. So I think sometimes we hear in grooming that, you know, well, you talk to the dogs too much, or it's too much talking to the dogs. But I think sometimes we're seeing it as that gets dogs revved up because we've seen it done incorrectly, or we've seen it rev dogs up. But that's not been my experience, that that's always what happens. So I want you guys to know, if you are using your voice for encouragement, for feedback, then you can definitely read the room, that you are able to help this dog be calmer. That's its whole purpose. I want to help this dog to be calm. And if it is not, I can change my tactic, because my voice can be used in many, many ways. There are plenty of ways to use my voice. So we can talk about using your voice in the next part. If you're enjoying this podcast, please remember to subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes, and tell all of your friends. So what's really happening when we're using our voice? So a dog is hearing not only words coming out of our mouth, but they're hearing the tempo, how fast or how slow, right? We can slow them down a little bit by being slower, right? The difference between it's okay, and shh, it's okay, right? That's a big difference. And many dogs really seem to have a feel for that. I know that's not very scientific. In my observations, many, many, many dogs, if you go to a slower tempo and a softer tone, and you get a little bit softer, you know, and maybe a little sing-song, they respond by calming down a little bit. Not all dogs, but plenty of them do. They're also listening to the volume, right? Because they're cued in on our voice. They live with people. These are house pets. They live in homes with people, right? This is what they enjoy doing, is hanging out with people. So even though the grooming shop isn't a joyful thing for many, many dogs, they're used to listening to voices. So they can hear if our voice is stressed. Again, yeah, that probably sounds like an assumption. I know that dogs will react differently when my voice sounds stressed than if my voice sounds calm. I know one of my own guys, if I sound stressed, he's like slinking around like, you know, well, I just wish everything was like it was before. You know, like nobody ever abused him, but he is so, so sensitive, such a soft dog. My other guy is kind of going to stick around like, you seem a little bit upset. What's going on? And if I am upset, he'll kind of like wander off like, I don't know, you seem upset. I'll come back when you're more interesting. But they can hear stress in our voice. They can hear when we're frustrated. They can also hear when we're calm. They can hear when we're trying to reassure them. And think about the fact that our voice can be soft. Now, for some dogs, if they're just being really, really silly and they're goofing off and you're trying to calm them down, a soft voice can really be helpful, because it's almost like they slow down because they have to really think and strain to hear you. It actually works with kids too. Don't know if you guys have ever tried it. But if you go from like normal tone to, you know, and they're like, what? It's almost like everybody pauses for a second to be like, would you please speak up? It can be really helpful. It's just another tool. Our voice is just another tool to help a dog. Now, if we are frustrated with something they just did, right? We can jump in with a, hey, knock it off, you know? And think about the body language that goes with these things, right? The body language, the facial expressions, but the sounds, right? Sharp sounds, quit, you know, like those kind of sounds for a lot of dogs they alert to. Doesn't mean they're going to never do it again. It just is sort of an interrupter sound, like, oop, what was that, you know? But it's a useful tool. It's one of our many, many, many tools. And to see so many people feeling like we shouldn't be using this particular tool, no, we should be talking to the dogs. We should be open and willing to go ahead and tell little Miss Sweetie Pie, like, hey, Miss Sweetie Pie, you're okay. Everything will be okay. You all right? Okay, let me check your ear again. Oh, who's a good girl, right? That's not spoiling. That dog's not dominant over me or whatever you, like, you know, are being told. That dog is just responding to my voice. And if the response is more of what I'm looking for, then the response was what I wanted, right? If the behavior that I am seeing as a result of using my voice is increasing in the way that I want it to, then the voice was, here we go. If the voice that I'm adding, that's positive, something added, is increasing the behavior that I want, that's reinforcement. So your voice can be used as positive reinforcement. Something added that is increasing the behavior that you do want. I know, right? How fun is that? So anytime somebody's telling you like, oh, well, we're using positive reinforcement, I think that the term gets really overused because people think it just means food. It does not mean food. It can be food that is used as a positive reinforcer, but reinforcement is all about the study of the behavior and if that behavior increases or continues. So if you are using a harsh no and the behavior is continuing to increase, the behavior that you do not want, right? The dog is still fighting and flailing and biting at you and you say no, and the dog is flailing and fighting and biting at you and you say no, no, no. It is quite possible that you are using positive, something added, a no, to reinforce the very thing you don't want. Biting and flailing, biting and flailing. Reinforcement means that the behavior is continuing or increasing. Yeah. So the idea of using no, 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 and having a dog continuously getting worse, yes, sometimes that's created by our own voice, by what we are doing. That's why we always, always go back to the behavior, go back to what you observe. Because it's not our intentions that always change the behavior, right? You may intend for that to decrease the behavior, but in this particular dog, it did not, right? You may intend to help a dog feel less scared by going, oh my gosh, it was a cutie pie, and have the dog be more frightened, right? You didn't intend to punish, but you did. You reduced the behavior, you know. So I want you to be thinking about your voice is an interesting tool that can do a lot of things. And we should be always keeping in mind that our goal is calm, comfortable, and cooperative. So are we getting more cooperation while we're using our voice? In many cases, yes. In some cases, no. So when I'm using my voice with a dog and I start talking to them about what I am doing, that's really helpful for a lot of dogs. Like if I tell them, okay, this foot, and I go to pick up the foot, I'll often name things I'm doing. And I notice that their behavior does shifts in the way that I want it to do, right? It becomes better. They're more calm. They're more cooperative. So therefore, my voice is being used as a tool in the way that I wanted it to. But again, always be thinking, is this dog calm, comfortable, and cooperative? I'm going to give you an example. My last dog was a real nervous girl. definitely came out of her shell, but kind of at her core. She was cautious, a little bit nervous, and we were learning something in flyball, and she finally had hit the box just perfect and came back to the tug, and my friend let out this big whooping, woohoo! And my dog hit the deck. Like, oh my God, that was the scariest thing that had happened to her all day. And she was like, okay, never do that again. Right? It was not the response that we were looking for, right? When my friend yelled, woohoo, right? My dog was like, oh, no, I'm never going to try that again. Certainly that's dangerous. It made Claire do that thing. So I want you to think about our intentions. We can mean well, but we have to look at the behavior, right? What she was trying to do was give a boisterous, yay, that's fantastic. But she did it to a dog who thought that was very, very scary. That was pretty aversive. That dog wanted to avoid that response as best as she could, right? So think about, it's not necessarily that woohoo is a bad thing to do, because her dogs love it when someone says woohoo. My current guys would love it if someone's like, woohoo, yeah, that my guys would be like out there doing the doggy version of a high five, like, yeah, everybody, look what I did. But we have to match it to the animal that we're working with, the circumstances that we're in, and look at what it does, how the behavior is changed by it, right? So in that case, woohoo was a punisher. It decreased the likelihood of her doing that again. And in the next repetition, when we asked her to try it again, proof is in the pudding. Next time we asked her to try it again, she's like, oh, I don't think so. You know, like there was a decrease in behavior. So, using our voice, we have to think about the individual. And sometimes it backfires. But you know what? That's part of the fun of training. It's all so individual. So it's not like you can approach every dog the same exact way. You know, there are plenty of dogs that I'll just be totally quiet with. Because you know what? That keeps them calm. They relate to that. They can handle that, and they are really well behaved with that. And if I start talking to them, they get a little bit too silly, right? There are plenty of dogs that if you do a harsh no, they settle down. You know why? Because some of those dogs hear that at home when it's time to settle down. And that's one of the few times that I'll do that, is when I observe that an owner does that with their dog and their dog responds to that no, knock it off, you know? So use our common sense, and one of the best tools that we have, which is our voice. It's a great tool. You know, we always have it available. Well, for the most part, you usually have your voice available, but it's a great tool, and we shouldn't throw it by the wayside because of like some of those myths. You know, we really need to think about, I can speak with the dogs and observe if the behavior is changing or staying the same or doing what I want it to do, right? And when I say it, I'm talking the behavior, not the animal, because the behavior is what we're trying to change, right? We want the animals to be calm, comfortable, and cooperative. And if we're always keeping that in mind, then it becomes very, very obvious that I don't want to do, hey, buddy, with a dog who's already very silly, right? Why would you do that? Like, that's for playtime. That's not for clippers in your eyes time. So, common sense approach. Just relax, because you know what? You all know how to do it. The average Joe can calm a dog down with their voice if they know what they're trying to work toward and they have a little bit of practice. I teach this to owners, right? Like, hey, help them calm down, right? We teach it to owners. We can teach it to groomers. So think about the goal in mind and using your voice in kind of this common sense way. Just check, just verify if it's helping or not. And don't worry about if you're going to spoil the dog. It's the behavior we're looking at. And you know what? If the behavior improves and this dog is calm, comfortable, and cooperative more consistently throughout the whole thing, and someone wants to tell me that I'm spoiling that dog and treating him like a fur baby, I kind of don't care. Because you know what? This dog is having a better experience, and this dog is being calm, comfortable, and cooperative, and this dog is safer to groom. So if they want to tell me I'm treating them like a fur baby, I'll be like, great. Okay. Like everyone can have their opinions. Sure, fine, whatever. Because at the end of the day, what I care about is that the grooming is safe. Safe for the dog, safe for us, because behavior problems are when dogs get hurt, people get hurt, equipment gets broken, and customers are upset. So if we can avoid all of that, that's what we should be doing. If you'd like more information, you can find me at chrissy@happycritters.net, happycrittersdogtraining.com, or you can join the Facebook group, Creating Great Grooming Dogs podcast, or the Facebook page, Creating Great Grooming Dogs. I really look forward to hearing from you.